Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And hopefully, let's see what happens here.
Again, if you need assistance, dial me up.
Same thing that happened last week.
I know we got Cynthia, right, Cynthia?
I'm here.
All right, we're going to go to the other place. Hang on.
Just makes it more entertaining.
All right, and we'll have Janet answer the phone live on the air. That's the way we'll do it.
Better than the recording.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe everything works out all right.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. All right, we've got Janet Manco and Cynthia Hasswender. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's time to take a look at what is in the Lakeville Journal this weekend. Once again, we remind people that if they want election results, Cynthia?
They are now online at tricornernews.com, but as of late yesterday afternoon, we still did not definitively have the successful candidate in the state Senate 30th. We believe it's Craig Miner, and we believe that Dave Grombeck called to concede, but they were still counting, I think, 5,000 absentee ballots in New Milford as of yesterday evening. We have not updated yet this morning.
Yeah, and you know, there's a couple of cases like that in New York State as well, where those absentee ballots and are doing exactly that, where opponents have conceded, but you know, just the figures still are not final. So,
yeah, and we have to expect that. Hey, it's happening in the federal level too.
Well, it is, and we mentioned earlier in the show that we learned our lessons really from the hanging chad, because I think all the election people that are counting the ballots, millions and millions of ballots, not just thousands, millions, working 18-hour shifts. They're doing an outstanding job. And how would you like to have to sit in an office and open up an envelope three times, because you got the outside envelope, the inside envelope, and then you pull the ballot out of that, and you've got to do that a million times.
There's a great podcast out now called Fiasco that goes into the whole in detail about the Bush Gore recount. Yeah. That I recommend.
Yeah, I tell people to go. Look, that's exactly. You want to see mayhem? Go back to that. This is actually under control. Well, anyways, let's go to the front page. And yeah, once again, North Canaan red alert. The high school once again this week. This time had a high school student. In Columbia County, COVID-19 is going through the roof, which is amazing. Dutchess County is still holding fairly low, but it is definitely acting here like it is around the rest of the country.
And as Dr. Herko said, before it was we were worried about people coming in and bringing it. Excuse me, but now it's really coming from within. So this issue, the theme of this issue is uncertainty. So as we went to press on Tuesday morning with this article on the spread of COVID in our region, we had to rewrite the story three or four times to adjust to new cases that were being reported. We had hoped that the flow had stopped at Gear, but there were some new cases reported there, and not a reflection on what they're doing there. We know they're working very, very hard to contain it and keep everybody safe. But as you said, there was also the case at Hoosie. And at the time that we first interviewed everybody, specifically Charlie Parati, the first selectman in North Canaan, and Lisa Carter, the interim superintendent for Region 1, they had both said, we're not going to roll back to Phase 2. But as we went to press on Monday evening, Governor Lamont said he's ordering the state back into Phase 2. So rather than try to rewrite the story on the page one more time, we will update that in our next issue.
Editor's notes in there, too, noting what was happening in real time.
You know, it's interesting, out of Columbia County, they were so alarmed, they did a deep investigation as to why they're so high. And it's not nursing homes this time. It is community spread. There's only three cases that are associated with nursing homes. The rest is all just plain community spread, which is totally different.
And are they kids, or happened. Do you have any?
They didn't go into that break, but it is community spread. So this is a story that we're going to have to deal with, obviously.
Yes, like we're going to.
For months. Yeah,
for months.
But it's also about learning to live with, it's here.
It's here, and either people are going to deal with it or they're not. That's
right,
all.
And a case, and in fact, one of the worst things that, in my view, that has happened is that people need to understand in a lot of situations that a case is a test that is positive.
Right. It doesn't mean, if they say there's 10,000 cases, that means there's 10,000 positive. That means that there could be more. that haven't been tested, or there could be fewer because it could be a false positive. So all you can count is the number of positive
tests.
What the state now, if Connecticut does something very smart, they give anybody that's had the test twice and it's turned up is now a case. Anybody that's had it once and hasn't had, it's called probable.
Because of the asymptomatic aspect is that you don't necessarily know it. You know, you've been contacted, you test positive, you feel fine.
Meanwhile, they're doing heavy contact tracing. So GEER thinks that they have figured out who, there's one individual that brought the COVID into the facility. And both Lisa Carter and Charlie Parati had said, we feel that those cases are contained, that the North Canaan Elementary School cases were within the school, that the GEER cases were within GEER, and that's why they were hesitant to roll back to phase two, which is the more restrictive phase of COVID quarantine. But it looks like now we're all going to be moving back into phase two, which will be hard for our towns, where restaurants and things were just starting to get back on their feet. But on the other hand, restaurants were already nervous about autumn. It wasn't like, you know, like you can do whatever you want. It was still going to be restricted.
And I want to remind people, I had a couple of emails this morning and questions about the COVID testing, which is coming up in North Canaan next week. You had to pre-register for that by yesterday. So you just can't show up there. And the registration for that COVID-19 testing in North Canaan is now cut off. And I also heard that if you don't have insurance, it's not an inexpensive test. So...
So they can offer it for free.
Yeah, but don't think you can show up in North Canaan if you didn't register. The registration is closed for that. I just wanted to.
It's still testing at CVS, which has appointments. Yeah. You do have to go online, and you do have to have insurance for CVS also.
Yeah.
I believe Walgreens, but I'm not sure if they're doing it at Walgreens in Canaan.
Now you have a story, and I went. I picked up food for a friend of mine who has a scooter, and he lives alone. And so I said I was on my way back. I said, you know what? I'm going to stop by, and I stopped by, and I picked up a gallon of milk and a box of food for him, and they still had lots left, and they said to me, well, do you want a box? So I said, well, no, I'll save it for people. She says, well, no, you don't understand. We're going to end this in about 40 minutes.
They're giving it away.
So I said, sure, I'll take a box. And you know what? The box was filled with incredible things. I mean, the box would have cost people at least $50 to $100.
Well, and you know, we've got people who are going to food banks and seeking food aid for the first time in their lives. So definitely something to be aware of, and of course, as we're coming up to Thanksgiving. But for this particular event at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, we were surprised that there was a very small turnout, that they were taking food to other towns to give it to food banks and people in need. And Patrick Sullivan, who is the reporter who worked on this, said he didn't think that it was because the need has decreased. He feels that maybe people just weren't alerted and didn't realize it was happening.
Yeah, one of the reasons that you need a local,
local media.
Yeah, you have to train people to look at that, not just their phones.
So also to let us know that stuff is happening before.
Yeah.
Today.
But still, congratulations to the Housatonic FFA and for the people that put this on, because I was just blown away by what I saw.
And the next time you hear about it, go, because literally it's
for anybody. There's no income or anything like that. Anybody who thinks that they need
but Marshall rang and he said there was milk and there was half and half and there was a big clunk of cheddar,
cabbages,
and veggies, fresh
vegetables, eggs, you name it. It was amazing. All right,
and that wasn't even the meat box.
Yeah,
over at Region 1, COVID is having all sorts of weird impacts that are unexpected, and one of them is that people keep flushing their wipes down the toilet, which is of course clogging up the old plumbing there. So a reminder to everybody, don't flush your wipes. But also a decision to delay sports, which seems like a very good idea.
Boy, if you watched that meeting, the reactions that came about that meeting, there was one board member who got very excited at that meeting, and who after there were so many people writing on the comments section where the video was posted, she came back on and explained herself. It got very heated. People are stressed out, just plain and simple.
Especially parents. It's hard on parents.
Yeah, very hard. You've got a list, which is great, because Veterans Day ceremonies are coming up, and you've got a full comprehensive list in the papers, both papers about Veterans Day ceremonies.
Right, and everybody seems to be doing them except for Canaan. Kent is much abbreviated. Kent always has the largest ceremony. Andy Osif organizes that with the other vets in town. Special ceremony in Cornwall, where this is the year of the Ethan Allen Family Cemetery. But do look at the list there, and requests from the towns to not really turn out in the way that we normally would. You can show your support for the vets in other ways, but maybe don't come out.
All right. And then inside, you've got a story, and Eversource sent out a press release on this, the work that is going on the power lines where they're installing these explosive devices. You might hear what sounds like thunder or a loud boom.
Because we're not jumpy enough.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least Eversource put this out, so we've been able to. You've been able to put it in the paper. We've been able to talk about it for a couple of days, so at least they put it out so people should have an idea what's going on.
And so the work is happening over by the old transfer station, and so I'm sure somebody's going to think that they're blowing up the old transfer station. Not what's happening. They are testing it. And boy, do I feel sorry for the workmen on those, because if it's a loud explosive device and they're setting it off and they're right next to it, so a moment to be really appreciative of the hardworking Eversource men.
All right. And if you look at the paper today, the viewpoint page is on B4. The obituaries are on B4 and B5. But they're all the columns that you want to see, whether it's COVID-19, safety, or police, it's all on page. The viewpoints are on B4. I wanted to let people know that. So they didn't think, you know, sometimes because the paper's in two sections now, they might immediately go to the second section and miss it and say, well, where is it? So.
Well, and the second section does have the opinion page
yes.
there. It's just the viewpoint, and that's in the first section. And I'd love to say we planned that, but this was a printer's error to have B4 in the A section. But at least both pages are in there, and it's not bad to have the obituaries all together, actually. That's kind of good.
Right, no. And it also makes you just pay attention for a little bit, because I was flipping through, and I saw that. I was like, did I just see a B?
That's right. This is a test. This is right. A collector's
exactly
item,
right.
As Bob
right.
asked from you.
That's exactly
right. Save inverted it. Jenny.
Save it for future reference. That's right. All right. Now, I do want to go to your editorial on local journalism.
Right. We're back at the time where we have been letting our readers know that we will be sticking with what was last year called the membership model. This year, we're calling it a community contribution model. Same thing. Because, you know, we had looked at the possibility, well, we have several options, and one was to go nonprofit fully, one was to stay as we are a for-profit company with a contribution model / membership model, and to do some hybrid of the two, so have a foundation that's nonprofit that would filter revenues over to the newspapers, but COVID has had an effect on all nonprofits, for sure, and we came to the conclusion that we would still be evaluating any massive change and not take that approach for this year. And so here we explain that and why we made the decision and talk about, you know, what we'll do in the future. And I have to say, we have had in the paper for 2 weeks already, and again this week, number 10 envelope, that's a business reply mail. You don't have to use a stamp to send it, though we have had people use their stamps to send them so that we don't have to pay the postage, which was super nice of them. And inside is a letter from our ownership telling our story of this year. And really, I'm reiterating that here, and we've already had a really great response. So thank you to everyone who has seen that letter and used those envelopes to send us something. And we are in much better shape at this moment than we were at this time last year, and for that, we are only grateful to our readers.
All right, I want to go on before you have letters to the editor. One of them about Holly Block, and
yes.
And you have a big advertisement that was purchased by people who wanted to make their comment on what their feelings are known. And what I like about that is, on the bottom of that, they let you know where you can find who signed that letter. So they identified themselves by that, which to me is always important. If you're going to run an ad and you're going to criticize something and put a stance on it, I was really glad to see that they say, for a full list of this, here's where you can go to find it, which makes all the difference in the world. It's not a blind advertisement.
That's right, and it does say advertisement on it, so everybody's aware of what it is. They wanted to get as many of their points in as they could, clearly readable, and so they did. They are identifying themselves, though. They just signed it, Concerned Neighbors in the Salisbury-Lakeville community, but The rest of the letter and their names is available on the town hall website, and they give you that link. So do look at, do read that. Do read George Massey's letter this week. We've had letters on this ongoing, and there's been lots of discussion about it on Facebook. It is a moment in the Salisbury community where you know, they're looking at the center of Lakeville and trying to figure out the best way to use space to have affordable housing, and this is an ongoing discussion.
Before we go on to the story, I want to ask you both a question. Somebody put a message up, and I wanted to verify it, and son of a gun, if they weren't right. Salisbury and Cornwall in this last election, well, first of all, the turnout was just incredibly high.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is that in Cornwall, a little over 69% of the people voted for the Democratic candidate locally. And in Salisbury, a little under 70%. Those two towns were the only towns that showed that big a disparity. I mean, Canaan had a big disparity, but it wasn't quite that high. It was about 66% voted Republican. But what came out in my mind when I saw those figures is, boy, the split really is amazing. It's not only nationwide, it is local as well.
Well, it was interesting in Canaan, too, because there was a very strong turnout for Native son Brian Oler, yeah, but a very low turnout for the incumbent president. So they were not just voting on, yeah, party lines. But if you go to tricornernews.com, we have as much statistics as we could gather,
yeah,
not only on how many people voted, but how many people voted by absentee. And you can see the vote split. We didn't do the percentages, but you can
it's
the
very
number
easy,
on the,
yes,
bottom and the little
number. Even it's so easy to do, even I was able to do it.
Yeah, even I can now do percentages. Little number on the top, big number on the bottom. But yeah, it is the area tends to be very strongly Democratic, but but mostly people here are unaffiliated, so you have like a third, a third, a third.
Yeah.
Generally, the unaffiliates I think tend to lean more toward left, but wanna be unaffiliated.
All right.
Now you can see all that at tricornernews.com.
All right. Before we get to Compass, seeking answers to overcrowding on the Housatonic.
The ongoing conversation, and good to see the town of Kent is still discussing it, even as the need has dispersed a little bit. We had incredible overcrowding all along the river, not just in our towns, and also at all area waterfalls that we had in Massachusetts. We had it in New York State. We will hope that next summer there's not the COVID push that brought a lot of people up here seeking relief. However, now that a lot of people have discovered the wonders of our area waters, it is likely that they will continue to come next summer. Often there are dangerous situations. There have been, I would say, every 2 years there's a fatality, and especially Kent. Kent really gets it the most because they're the southernmost town. So looking at ways that they can make it safer while remaining accessible to the public.
Also in Kent, with the Housatonic, where the drownings happened, it looks so calm and placid. People see calm,
right,
don't realize that the river's moving tons, tons of water that
very
is moving.
Very tricky water with all of the,
yeah,
rocks under it. It's
absolutely
much more, it's much sneakier than it looks.
All right. Now, let's go to the Compass section, because you've got a couple of pages on Compass. Lots of color.
Lots of color. And another place where, weirdly, there's uncertainty. So we've done a nice story on Brandy Younger Trio, which is coming up for the Hudson Jazz Festival, and then yesterday morning they canceled it. So there's no Hudson Jazz Festival this autumn. They're planning to do it next spring, but happy to have this beautiful photo of Brandy Younger, a harp player. The Jazz Festival was dedicated this year not just to John Coltrane, but to his beloved wife, Alice, who is a piano player and a harpist. And even though you can't hear the Hudson Jazz Festival this autumn, you should go to Spotify if you have it or whatever your music source is and listen to the Brandy Younger Trio, where she has this beautiful harp that overlays the more bebop-y kind of jazz, with music also by Ravi Coltrane, son of John and Alice. So really interesting. We love these chicken photos. You just can't get too many chicken photos around here. But also the Kent Art Association, really nice work that's being done, and they managed to keep going and do their annual show in spite of COVID. And then the Herb Alpert film called Herb Alpert Is. If you've ever heard him on a podcast, this guy is so fascinating and wasn't just a great trumpeter, but also was the founder of one of the most important independent music labels in music history, with most of the top bands and composers that you've ever heard of. So the Berkshire Jewish Film Festival featuring him. He is not, in fact, Latino. He is of Jewish extraction from Los Angeles, but just loved that music that he heard growing up in L.A.
Well,
so look forward to that.
Your story spurred memories for me of my second full-time job in radio. The program director hated Herb Alpert. And what I would do is every once in a while I would sneak in not only a Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, but he also had a band called the Baja Marimba Band that he played in. And I would try to sneak in a song just to aggravate my program director.
And then there's Sergio Mendez.
Yes.
And the Brazil 66.
But anyway, so that story brought back. This is a great thing about reading.
Most people don't know what A&M stands for.
It stands for Alpert and Moss, Alpert and Jerry Moss.
But it's nice when stories like this bring back other memories about that. Now, you also have Industrial History Ramble, which is our area.
And this is a weird story in the sense that the person we're featuring is not an industrial person. It's James Prosek, who Patrick Sullivan, a big fly fisher, has had James Prosek books on his desk for years. Does these beautiful watercolors of fish and trout and is a big fly fisherman. So Patrick called him up, and James is promoting the Wadsworth Athenaeum and had curated a show called Made in Connecticut about Connecticut industrial history featuring one of his works, which we have on the page, and Patrick also interviewed him, and we'll have some of his images for our November gift guide, which will be coming up after Thanksgiving.
All right. And once again, I want to mention this, Janet, to people that are listening. Every once in a while, I get a combination of, why don't you feature the Millerton News on this? And we only have a certain amount of time, but I never want to leave the Millerton News out because I think they do a fantastic job because nobody covers Millerton other than the Lakeville Journal's Millerton News.
That's
nobody.
Right. And, they cover Millerton, Millbrook, every place, Amenia, Pine Plains, every place in between. And they have a wonderful story this week about World War One veterans in their own words. It's a historical piece that Carol Nealon did. We're lucky to have her, and it's a fascinating piece. And they also have their election results online. So take a look for all of the results from the New York State side.
And we'll be looking forward next week to coverage on the not completely surprising but very sad announcement that Carol Sadlin is looking for a new ownership for the movie house.
Well, God bless her. I don't think people – it's like people don't realize the work that's going on with the counters. Well, people don't realize that when you have a partnership and two people have created something from the ground up that – and you lose one of those very important people and it happens to be your husband, and then second of all, a pandemic comes along, there's just only so much that one person can do.
Yeah. So we'll hope maybe some of our benevolent film and stage stars up here will step in and help out.
We'll see. Well, once again, those stories and more. And remember, online at Tricorder News, all the election results at the Lakeville Journal, tricordernews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com on the web.